The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The following is an at-will presentation.
Do you have a secret you want to share?
Look, I haven't shared this with not many people at all. So this happened 4 years ago when I had to have hip surgery done. So I flew to Melbourne and I had to spend like overnight in hospital. But like I couldn't feel like anything lower than my hips. So I thought it would be a good idea to test out if things were still working. And by the way, it wasn't, so... And a fucking nurse walks in. I'm standing up.
You're standing up?
Yeah, I'm standing up.
Why weren't you, like, under the cover?
It's 2 a.m., man. A nurse walks in, and she's like... And, like, goes back out the door, and I'm just like, oh, fuck. And she, like, knocks, she's like, are you done? And I'm like... Yeah. And then I climb back in the bed. She's like, here's your pills.
Well, I bet she just went out there and had a bloody good giggle to the rest of the nurses. So.
I'm Ben Hamm.
And I'm Dahlia Beta.
We're your hosts as we navigate the deep waters of humanity.
And listen to the stories no one ever tells.
You are entering the secret room.
I was married to a very nice man named Robert. He was very attractive. He was very charming. And he just swept me off my feet.
Today in The Secret Room, we bring you a love story of sorts. It's far from your traditional boy meets girl, though.
You're here to tell a secret?
Yes, I am.
We're going to learn about it a little bit later in the interview. But there's some stuff that we need to cover to get to that point.
All right.
It's about a love story that transcends lies, drug abuse, criminal behavior, and philandering.
He treated me like I was a queen.
It's also a story about redemption. And of course, it's about heartbreak, too.
The statute of limitations has passed, and the person I'm speaking of is dead. So I think it should be safe to tell.
Today, the secret room is a quiet study in an undisclosed location in the southwestern United States. It's where I met Kathy to hear her remarkable story.
Hello, Benjamin.
A story of the man she loved.
That's what my mom calls me.
The man she married. The man who tested and tested that love.
Yeah, take a seat over there.
All right.
Kathy, welcome to the secret room.
It's a pleasure.
So what did you think your marriage was going to be like when it all started?
Oh, it was great. I mean, we were traveling and we were doing things and, you know, got a nice house. And then we got a second house that was on a lake and got a boat. And it was, you know, just always fun, 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 go, go, go. And it's like, who doesn't want to do that? Yeah, it was amazing.
But then there was a life-altering event and things changed.
He was diagnosed with serious heart disease and was told that he needed a heart transplant. And that if he didn't have the heart transplant, that he would most likely die within 2 years. He just decided that, you know, that's a lot of stuff and testing and medical stuff, and I'll be living in hospitals waiting for a transplant. And he decided that that wasn't for him. And if he had 2 years left to live, he wanted to spend it, you know, just having fun and, you know, living life to the fullest before it ended.
And what did living life to the fullest mean?
A lot of partying and drinking and drugs, and then he wanted to sleep with as many people as possible before he died. In all fairness, I mean, someone told me I had 2 years to live, I would live my life way differently than I'm living it now.
But did this seem out of character to you? I mean, you know, was he already somebody that you knew to go outside of the marriage? Was he already somebody that you knew to do drugs?
He was definitely a drinker. And yeah, I'd probably had suspicions, if not outright evidence, of him cheating before.
And he had met a woman just after his diagnosis?
Probably within a couple months of their meeting. They had become romantic and she had gotten pregnant. It was very hurtful. I was not expecting that at all.
You said he had a high-flying lifestyle.
He had a finance company that was very lucrative and probably not a well-respected one. He did very high-interest payday loans. He would also maybe do some gambling on the side. He was what most people would call a bookie.
How did your friends and family react to his behavior?
Probably not everybody knew that he was a drugging, drinking, bookmaking impregnator. The very few people who knew it all, and especially probably my sisters, they knew it and they were like, what the heck are you still doing? And I would make excuses for him. Well, you know, it's because he's sick or because he's drunk.
So Robert moved to their second house. And when he got there, he did just what he said he was going to do. He lived life to the fullest.
I didn't think he would carry it to the extreme that he did. He was spending a lot of time with other people living in this lake town. So for him, it was just a nonstop 24/7 party time of drugs and alcohol and sex.
So during your marriage, your husband is involved in some less reputable businesses. He's taking drugs. He's getting other chicks pregnant.
Yeah.
When is it okay to break the vow?
I wanted to hang in there till the end because, you know, that's what marriage is about. Better, worse, sicker, poorer. But it just got to the point that it was incompatible with marriage even. And it took its toll. And I finally said, I just can't live this life anymore. And he was mostly, okay, fine. You know, this is the lifestyle I want to live. And if you don't want to be part of that, then see you later. That was that.
But just days after the divorce came some bad news. Robert's mother had passed away.
He very quickly went downhill and just, it was awful after that. The drugs and the drinking escalated quite rapidly to a point that I didn't even think was possible. I mean, I'd never seen anybody drink that much and do that many drugs and still be alive.
So you're divorced.
We're divorced.
But you're still in touch.
We're still in touch because we still were trying to do the final undoing of the marriage. And then he had met another woman who was unfortunately also a drug addict and an alcoholic. We had stayed friends. I was still worried about him. I still cared about him. I wanted to make sure he was taking his medicine and going to his cardiologist appointments. And so we probably talked or texted every day. It was just a different aspect of our lives. We were no longer married, but we were still as close almost if we still had been married. But now there was no longer the financial pressure, the emotional pressure.
How's Robert's relationship with his girlfriend at this point?
Very, very volatile because there was a lot of drugs in their relationship and a lot of sex. They were having, for lack of a better word, orgies at their house.
Did his relationship with her remind you in any way of your relationship with him?
I don't think ours was ever that crazy. where we would be screaming and throwing things at each other. Ours wasn't that bad, and they would be doing that constantly. The police were called to their house several times. It was crazy.
And Kathy's secret, the event that led her to the secret room today, was born of that volatile relationship, a relationship fueled by drugs and ultimately consumed by flames. One night, Kathy was visiting Robert and his girlfriend.
He was drunk, and she was mad and screaming at him. She looked high. She was tweaking, obviously. And finally, she left, and he and I sat down and talked, and he was in a bad place. He was drunk. He was high.
They talked a while, but this wasn't her home. This wasn't where she wanted to be. Kathy had left this man for a reason, for many reasons. But not long after she drove away that night,
I get a call from a neighbor of the lake house who's like, "Oh my God, your house is on fire." And I'm like, no, I was just there. Everything's fine." It's like, "Oh my God, your house is on fire."
Kathy turned her car around. By now she had learned to expect the unexpected, that anything bad was possible. She returned.
And the whole house was engulfed in flames. There were probably 5 or 6 fire engines there and probably 20 firefighters. And I mean, it was a huge blaze.
Her ex-husband had been rescued and was at the hospital. And the next morning, she learned, at his bedside, what had caused this terrible tragedy.
He had said that he had been very mad at her. He thought she was cheating on him, or he was mad that she was always accusing him of cheating on her. I'm not sure what it was. So he decided he was going to show her. And he had gone into the room where she had kept all of her clothes, all of her personal items, and he had set them on fire to punish her. He had fallen behind on his house payments. It was probably, maybe 60 days away from being foreclosed on, if that. I know that he had thought of burning the house down for money.
Wow. So he did it.
And he did it.
Wow. So the fire department came out?
It was obviously a case of arson.
Okay.
There was no doubt about that.
Wow. Was there an arson investigator?
There was an arson investigator who did a very thorough job, but he could not prove who was the one who set the fire. My ex-husband had, told them that this was drug dealers who were after him for unpaid drug debts that had come and set the house on fire.
So, the insurance company would reimburse damage due to arson, even if it was the result of a drug debt?
Even if it's a drug debt that got your house burned down, the insurance company will pay for that.
Good to know.
I don't know if that's good to know or not, but it's an interesting aspect.
Wow.
Eventually, he was cleared of the arson charge.
And this is the point in the story, Kathy, where you tell us your secret. Tell the world.
My secret is, my ex-husband burned down his house for the insurance money. He was paid very well for it, and I've never told anybody.
Wow, that is quite a secret.
It's quite a secret.
You've now had probably enough of him, but you're still talking to him, right? After this incredible tale.
Yes, after this incredible tale, I was still talking to him. Uh-huh. They rebuilt a small portion of the house. The rest of the insurance money, they squandered on drugs. And we're talking probably about $150,000 of drugs in 12 months. He died almost 10 years after the doctors told him he had 2 years to live.
And where were you when he died?
I was 3 hours away. And as soon as I heard, I went down there.
And how did you feel when you heard the news?
Numb, to be honest. It was the last thing I expected. I mean, I couldn't believe it. It didn't sink in. He had a heart attack while sitting on the toilet. It just made no sense that he had died like that.
He seemed sort of immortal. Seemed like nothing would ever take him down.
And everyone called him the Man of Teflon because nothing bad ever stuck to him. I mean, he could do as much drugs as he wanted and drink as much as he wanted and have probably some pretty high-risk sex that he wanted to. Nothing affected this guy. And so it was just so shocking that he would die in a way like having a heart attack while sitting on the toilet was just unimaginable. It was just like, there's no way it happened like that. He ended up getting sober in the last 5 years of his life. He had gone back to school. He was one semester short of getting his degree in counseling, which he was going to use in the community where he lived.
Does your family know your secret?
One of my sisters might know most of the story, but probably not all of the story. Mm-hmm. And the rest of my family, no. I don't think there's anybody else that knows the whole story.
Do you think that after having told the story in the secret room, that you might feel freer to tell people in your life about it? Or do you think you'll still keep it a secret?
I'll probably still keep it a secret.
Robert's volatile lifestyle literally blew his own life up in flames. After the house was reduced to ashes, it was a fast decline to the certain demise he'd been cheating his whole life. Can Kathy ever truly be free from this man? And does she want to be? Why did she stay with him, through thick and through thin, always there for him, when he didn't always deserve her? In marriage, and then in friendship, and then in death. I won't try to define or explain love, but this story is a testament to its power. Only you know when it's okay to break the vow.
We're back.
Yay, back to the grindstone.
What, Ben? Is potting not for you? Was summer break too long? Are you just used to sticking your feet up on your balcony and sipping your mojitos?
Whatever, Dahlia. That all sounds pretty good, though.
Yeah, it does.
And so maybe that's why we were a little bit longer than we expected on our hiatus.
Oh, and if people haven't heard our awesome trailer, you should probably listen to it.
In a world teetering on the brink of collapse, two friends must learn a secret.
Check it out in our feed for some teasers as to what's coming up in future Eppies.
And if you're new to The Secret Room, why not go back and check out our first season?
If you like Ben's interview today, it's actually going to be featured on another podcast called Sunday Supper. They're doing a series on the seven deadly sins, and we're being featured on greed, so check it out. So there's the first show of season two.
With so many more to follow, but we should warn people, we're gonna post regularly in season two, but not necessarily every single Monday like we did last season.
Yeah, that was fun, but we kinda almost died.
We didn't die?
No, but we came close. It's hard for just a two-man workshop.
So we're just going to keep everybody on their toes. We might feed Monday, maybe Wednesday, who knows? It'll be exciting. Just subscribe and you'll catch us when our new Eppies feed.
Catch us like the Pokemon we know you're all trying to find.
I love Pokemon. I caught three Pokemon today.
Stop. Just no.
Rattata is one of my favorites.
Holy crap. We're glad Breakmaster Cylinder is still part of the team and we want to give credit where it's due. He composed every single note you heard in the show.
And thanks, as always, to our Street Secret team for collecting those little gems that start the show.
And our very active Twitter feed is...
Huh?
Okay, it's not so active, but we're going to be better. I promise. It's at Secret Room Pod.
It's our new Twitter handle, but if you were subscribed to our old one, don't worry. You've automatically been transferred, so you don't need to do anything. Among our other Twitter feeds, I'm at HamPod.
That's with two M's.
OMG!
Did you like that?
Movie guy.
Thanks for the great trailer, Toby. He's in New Zealand, but you can find him at TobyRicketsVoiceover.com.
I'm at Dahlia Beta.
See you all secret fans next time.
And pod on.
What was that? Oh, yeah. Pod on.
It's nice to say that again.
And I'm pressing stop.